Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from the Richie Incognito Travel Agency, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. I'm Scott Swaney, a.k.a. the Sherpa, with Jana Kimmel, a.k.a. Jana, on the other end of the phone. How are you, Jana?
I'm good. Just so you all know, we didn't forget to fall back. We're here an hour later than usual this week. One time only affair. We'll be back at our normal time next week, though.
Yes, we were. So lots going on this week. I mean, of course, the Richie Incognito story has been just dominating the NFL news the last couple days. We had two coaches that were stricken this week. You know, one the current coach of Denver, one was their backup quarterback some 30 years ago. So I don't know what that says about Denver, if anything, but it was really a weird week.
Right? Very strange. I mean, obviously, bye weeks are very dangerous. I mean, John Fox was on a golf course. Very strange.
I guess he wasn't feeling up to par.
I guess not. And now we've got the return of...
He wasn't getting enough iron in his diet.
Now we've got the return of Wade Phillips and Jack Del Rio to the coaching ranks, which will always be interesting.
Well, as a USC fan, I'm happy about Jack Del Rio because that means in all likelihood he will not become the next coach at USC. So.
Yeah, you guys just dodged a bullet. It's good.
Yeah, who knows, maybe Lane Kiffin will disguise himself as Andy Reid and, you know, get offered the job.
Maybe he can borrow that costume from that baby. That was good.
Yeah, that was a good costume. I'm waiting for the Rex Ryan baby lookalike.
Will it be the bigger Rex Ryan or the more svelte Rex Ryan that's roaming around now? Which one will the baby be?
Well, they're pretty large, I think. Any baby that looked even like svelte Rex Ryan would have some health issues, I think.
Probably. It's probably not great. We need a padded baby, like extra stuffing around it. No, we don't actually want a baby that big. It won't be good.
No. I used to, when they had, years ago, when Andy Reid and Mike Holmgren would coach against each other, to me they look like, you know, those old separated at birth, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With those mustaches and stuff. They were,
yeah.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah. So how do people, how does Richie Incognito or how do, you know, Gary Kubiak or John Fox get in touch with us this week or anybody else for that matter if they feel like they've got some time on their hands and want to call in?
There are a number of ways that you can get a hold of us. We will be here until 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. Like I said, next week we'll be back to our normal time, but tonight you have us till 11:30. You can always call us at 347-989-8088. That's 347-989-8088. You can tweet us at the number 4 THN Inches Show. That's the number 4 THN Inches Show. Or you can find the Sherpa at fantasy_Sherpa or myself at JKIM16. You can also find us on email at the same handle, the number 4, thninchesshow@gmail.com. We're on Facebook under the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. The chat room is open, and you can find us all week long at fantasyfootballsherpa.com.
Well, if somebody says they don't know how to get in touch with us after all that, it's probably a lost cause.
Well, there are definitely some people out there in Kansas City, the New York Jets, Cleveland, New England, that have a little extra time on their hands because their teams are on bye weeks this week. So, you know, feel free to call in.
Well, at least it's only four teams this week and not six. But
yeah.
So with those four teams, I don't think too many people are going to be missing the fantasy quarterback. Yeah, maybe a second quarterback. I mean, other than Tom Brady, I can't think of it. I can't imagine anybody starting Jason Campbell or Geno Smith in a one quarterback league unless they're in a 16 or even a 32 team league, but that would be pretty sad. So,
yeah.
Speaking of sad, Thursday night games have been pretty much a universal downer this season in terms of fantasy production and all. Last week we had Cincinnati coming off an impressive victory against the Jets, and you know the Dolphins managed to take them out at home in spite of, I think, only scoring 12 points on offense in that game, but they came through with a big touchdown, you know, interception, and also a safety to end the game, which is apparently only happened in a handful of other teams. But yeah, there was a couple of years ago, I think there was a Cardinals-Cowboy game where there was a walk-off, a block punt for a safety or something like that. But and speaking of Cowboys, I saw some sad item that Tony Dorsett is apparently losing his memory. But
yeah, I saw that. That is sad.
Yeah. So what did you think of your team last week? They escaped from the game with Minnesota with a narrow victory, as I think we both predicted they would.
They snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, as is the Cowboy way.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's going to get them to East Rutherford in February, but...
makes us exactly a 500 team again. So the last 8 years or something? It's ridiculous.
They've got to win that division. I mean, just by default. I felt bad as a Giants fan last week because all the other teams in the NFC East played and won, which is, I think, the first time that's happened all season.
Yeah, the worst thing that could have happened to you guys is being on a bye.
Probably the last time it'll happen all season, but So... But anyway, so back to the task at hand here, the Thursday night game. We've got Washington.
Which we so clearly don't want to talk about Thursday night games.
Washington at Minnesota, in theory, there should be some offensive fireworks there. And I'm going to pretend that there's no problems with Thursday night games, no ill after effects of short week preparation and all, and I'm going to pretend that both of these teams will be hitting on all cylinders. That said, I think Washington wins this game pretty easily. I'll say Washington 34, Minnesota 24, and Dan the Torpedoes.
I think
this is going to be like a 12-7 slog fest now that I predicted.
Probably. Thanks for ruining it for everybody, Sherpa.
Don't mention it.
I mean, I think Washington has to win this game. I don't know. The way the NFC East is playing, it wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota found a way to win, but I think Washington should win it. I'm going to say by less than 10 points, maybe a touchdown. Fantasy-wise, I think there are options here. I think you can start RG3. I'd start Alfred Morris. Running backs Darryl Young and Roy Helu, I'd use maybe as flex players. You are down a couple of running backs this week with teams on byes. And I think they're going to run on Minnesota. I don't know. I mean, they're going to do a lot to Minnesota offensively. Leonard Hankerson, Pierre Garçon, I'm okay starting both of them. And tight end Jordan Reed, I'm kind of on the fence on, but I think I'm going to lean towards starting him this week. I'm staying away from the defense because Adrian Peterson will do some damage there. And I'm not starting the kicker. There are definitely better kicker matchups for you.
I'm not buying Darryl Young. I called BS on that thing last Sunday. I mean, It's nice that he got 3 1-yard touchdown runs, but I'll bet he doesn't get 3 touchdown runs the rest of his NFL career. That was his one shining moment as we were talking about Marvin Jones last week.
Well, I'm going to see what Darryl Young has to offer me this week on a ridiculous Thursday night. And, you know, crazy stuff happens on Thursday night. If anything's going to happen, this might be his week.
Having him go off for a second week in a row, that would be the ultimate in crazy, I think. But
maybe this week he'll run for 2 yards on his touchdowns instead of one.
There was a game, I think, it might have been Jerome Bettis' last season or second to last season where he ran 5 times for 3 yards and all 3 of those 1 yard gains were touchdowns at the goal line,
that
if I recall correctly. But anyway. So for Minnesota, start Adrian Peterson, star wide receiver Greg Jennings. Christian Ponder, not a bad second quarterback. He's against Washington's defense. I mean, he's not going to make anybody forget Peyton Manning or even Eli Manning.
He's not winning you games, but he's not losing you games either.
No, well, against Washington's defense, same thing as with Dallas's defense. He should be able to throw for some yardage there. Mm-hmm. Wide receivers, Jerome Simpson, Jarius Wright, or flex options. Tight end John Carlson, he's a decent start with tight end Kyle Rudolph out with a foot injury. Blair Walsh, okay, as a kicker. Cordarrelle Patterson, great return guy, not such a good receiver, at least not yet. Stay away from him, too.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
Let's go
so now that we've,
game.
We've put the Thursday night
there.
Game out of its misery, yeah, let's turn our attention to teams that have a full week of rest to prepare
mm-hmm.
for their next game. So first up on the Sunday game, Cincinnati, they had a chance to really put some distance between themselves and the field last week, and that didn't happen. So now here they are. Now they've got a division game on the road with Baltimore, which is not come around the way I thought that they would. I thought they'd have a rough early season, but that by midseason all their defenses, you know, newcomers would be melded into the rest there, but it's not happening for them, and I just see more misery and doom and gloom ahead for the defending Super Bowl champions. I think Cincinnati gets back to their winning ways and puts this away on the road. I'll say Cincinnati 27, Baltimore 21.
I'm taking Cincinnati by, like, 10 points, which, shocking for an AFC North matchup since they seem to score about 18 between them every time they play. I can't respect Baltimore right now. They've given me no reason to believe that they can put up any kind of fight. Cincinnati's at least shown flashes of being functional and a coherent football team, so I'm taking them to win. I think last week was a little bit of a wake-up call for them. Maybe they started to believe the hype too much about how great they were, and they got lazy. I think this week they bounced back an important division game. I'm definitely interested in starting Andy Dalton, but I like him more as a second quarterback option. I think you have better matchups defensively, even though Baltimore isn't the Baltimore defense of old. They can still cause a little damage. I like Giovanni Bernard. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is more of a flex option for me this week. Definitely start AJ Green. I like Marvin Jones as well. And kicker Mike Nugent and the defense. I just don't see Baltimore putting up a ton of points here.
Both their tight ends, Tyler Eifert and Jermaine Gresham, seem to be getting targets now. Would you start either of those guys this week?
If I'm in a deeper league or I need a flex option, yeah, but if I'm only starting one tight end, I think I'd go for some better matchups.
Okay. For Baltimore, Ray Rice has had a really lousy season, definitely not worthy as mm-hmm. a top five pick in most drafts, but I think this week it's a pretty good matchup for him. I would start him, start wide receiver Torrey Smith. Joe Flacco, big disappointment this year. He's certainly not the best quarterback in the NFL, regardless of what he might tell you. He's a second quarterback in my mind for this week. Rookie wide receiver Marlon Moore, he's a decent flex option, as are wide receivers Tandon Doss and Jacoby Jones, who's back from that opening night knee injury now. Tight end Dallas Clark, okay to start. Defense, okay. I'd stay away from running back Bernard Pierce and kicker Justin Tucker.
I can live with that. It'll be interesting, that game.
Yeah, well, speaking of interesting, this next game is going to be really interesting, not for the reasons that Chicago had hoped a couple weeks ago, but, you know, we've got Detroit at Chicago. There's some noise about Jay Cutler trying to play, but I think more realistically, he's probably still a couple weeks away from what, you know, the press is reporting.
The worst thing they could do is play him this week. Worst thing they could do.
Yeah, I mean, Josh McCown hasn't done badly. Maybe he doesn't throw a deep ball the way that Cutler can, but they don't need that. They've got good receivers, and you know, they can throw slant patterns and let them run all day after they catch the ball. And Nekwe Kay is a good receiver out of the backfield. Martellus Bennett is a decent tight end. So, you know, I think they're definitely a better team with Cutler as quarterback, but I don't think you have a big fall off that you're going to see in Green Bay, most likely.
Exactly.
But we'll talk more about that later. But this game, I see it being a close game. I think either team could win. I'll go against convention. Usually people say that when it's a toss-up game, give the edge to the home team. I'm going to go the other way and say that Detroit wins this by a field goal. I'll pick Detroit 34, Chicago 31.
I actually agree with you. I would like Detroit to win this even more, even if Jay Cutler starts, because there's no way he's 100% healthy, and I think that's just going to be a terrible idea. I think there's a lot of value to be had on this Detroit team this week. Even though they're in Chicago and Chicago's looked tough, I still think Detroit's going to come in and do some damage here. I like Matt Stafford. I like Reggie Bush. I mean, we start Joique Bell. Absolutely starting Calvin Johnson. I might even take a flyer on Chris Durham. I like tight end Joseph Fourier. I like kicker David Akers, but I'm not starting the defense. Because like you said, even with Josh McCown at quarterback, Chicago still has a lot of options, and I think that this is going to be one of our higher scoring morning games, or I'm sorry, early games.
Yeah, Chicago's defense doesn't impress me as much this year as they did last year. They're, especially against the run, they just haven't been very good this year, and I just think that I agree with most of your Detroit recommendations there. For Chicago, whether it's Cutler or Josh McCown, I think you have to start either of them, although I agree that when you have a groin injury, you probably shouldn't be starting, so hopefully McCown will get the start. Running back Matt Forte, wide receivers Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, tight end Martellus Bennett, kicker Robbie Gould, those guys are all good to start. The only Chicago piece I would stay away from this weekend, as I was just alluding to, is the defense, because Detroit's going to score a lot of points on them. They score a lot of points on good defenses, and at this point I would argue Chicago's not a good defense.
I think that's a fair argument to make.
All right, let's move on to Philadelphia at Green Bay. Last week we were pretty much conducting last rites or performing last rites for Philadelphia on the show. So Nick Foles apparently heard us and got upset and went out and threw 7 touchdowns. And
I so bad wanted him to get that ace touchdown. So bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's this unspoken rule in the NFL that you're not allowed to throw for more than 7. And I think it would take...
I guess if Peyton Manning can't do it, nobody can do it. I think that's,
well,
that's
I think
the rule.
If it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen in a game like not the game against the Ravens, the 7 touchdown game, but I think it would be more likely that he would do it in a game like the game against the Cowboys, where it's close right to the end and he's got to keep putting points up on the board. I think if that record ever falls, I think it'll be something like that. And anyway, this game, I don't know.
This game got a lot more competitive on Monday night when Aaron Rodgers got sacked and broke his collarbone.
Yeah. I mean, that pretty much changes everything. I think with a full week of practice, I think two things. First, I think with a full week of practice, Seneca Wallace is going to be better.
Absolutely.
Also, you might say, well, Philadelphia should just play all their games on the road because they can't seem to win at home. But
they can't.
I think just as with Darryl Young, I just think that one performance for Nick Foles last weekend was likely the high watermark for his career. I don't see him coming anywhere close to that. I think this is somewhat of a shootout, and maybe Foles throws for 3 or 4 touchdowns, but I still think that Green Bay is more talented even with Seneca Wallace there. I think they're going to find a way to win this game. I'll pick Green Bay in a shootout. Neither team plays much defense. I'll say Green Bay 34, Philadelphia 31.
I think that I'm going to take Philly to upset Green Bay. Now, this is not something you're going to often hear me say on this show, but granted, I am a Nick Foles fan, and last week was a good week for me as a Nick Foles fan. I don't think he's going to throw 7 touchdowns every week, but if he throws 3, I'd be happy with that. I just think between him and LeSean McCoy on the road, sure, it's going to be cold in Green Bay, but it's cold in Philadelphia, too. Just not, cheesehead cold. I think they're going to be able to get it together, although with Chip Kelly, he might name Michael Vick or Matt Barkley starter at this point. Who knows what he's doing? It's just ridiculous. I'm going to take Philly by a field goal. Like you said, I think it's going to be a shootout, a lot of scoring right down to the wire. Philly gets the ball last, so they win.
As long as he doesn't name Marcus Mariota his starter.
He might. Who knows? Maybe he'll name Marcus Vick his starter at this rate.
Yeah, that would be a disaster. Then I would pick against them in a big way.
I would be running to place bets against them.
I would.
But
the only good thing about that would be that it would keep him off Twitter.
Oh, God. Maybe it might be worth it to keep him off Twitter. So annoying. But, you know, we might be getting some tweets from him later. Who knows?
Yeah. At Fourth and Inches Show, STFU.
Oh,
Mark Marcus.
With a heart. Just heart Marcus.
Right, heart Marcus. So, well, we're waiting for that tweet, but...
Fantasy-wise for Philadelphia, don't start Marcus Vick. You should start Nick Foles. You should not start Michael Vick or Matt Barkley. Definitely start LeSean McCoy. Start DeSean Jackson. You kind of have to start Riley Cooper at this point. Last year, Jason Avant was Nick Foles' go-to guy. This year, it's Riley Cooper and his sweet flow of hair coming out of the back of his helmet. That seems to be his boy right now. So ride the hot hand. I'm staying away from all the tight ends. Brent Celek finally reminded people he was alive last week, but James Casey and what's his name, the other rookie.
Zach Ertz
they brought in, Zach Ertz, all got targets too. And I'm not feeling the tight end situation that's happening in Philly right now. So I'm staying away from there. Staying away from the kicker and the defense.
Bryce Brown even got some yardage in garbage time last week.
Yeah, that's how you know things were bad. Bryce Brown got the ball and he didn't fumble. It's crazy.
Yeah, Barkley got in, Bryce Brown got in. That was, that was definitely garbage time at the end of that game. Actually, in the middle of that game, that was garbage time. But anyway, for Green Bay, obviously, I'm a little bit more optimistic about Seneca Wallace's prospects this week than
I like Seneca Wallace. I think he's going to be a lot better. He looked pretty rough around the edges. But granted, he didn't exactly expect to get in the game either. So.
I think he's a fringe start as a first quarterback this week in a 12-team league, just because I like this matchup for him so much.
Mm-hmm.
Running back Eddie Lacy is a star. Wide receivers Jordy Nelson, Jared Boykin start. Kicker Mason Crosby start. Tight end Anthony Corliss is he's a so-so tight end option, maybe even a flex option in a deeper league. Aaron Rodgers obviously out this week and several more to come, so keep him out of your lineup. Jermichael Finley is going to miss at least another week with his neck injury.
Oh, they
put
him on IR today. He's done, I think.
They did. I missed that. Not he's done. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so don't start him this week or any
Probably
other week.
Probably shouldn't start him.
No. And then the defense, I would also stay away from them, you know, because Philadelphia should put up a lot of points in this game.
I'm very interested in watching this game.
Yeah. Well, living where you do, you should have a pretty good view of it.
Yes, I will. I live outside of Philadelphia, so.
That's right.
It will be everywhere.
Well, fortunately, you don't have to watch this next game, although I guess there's some people that would want to watch it. But St. Louis at Indianapolis, St. Louis is a train wreck at this point. And it's nice to see Zach Stacy coming on and Jared Cook having some good games. But this just really seems like
a mismatch.
Yeah.
Put it nicely.
I mean, I'm not told that Andrew Luck is going to go off in this game, but I'm
pretty sold on St. Louis not going off in this game.
Yeah, I'm definitely sold on. So, but I'll take Indianapolis to win this by 10 points. I'll say Indianapolis 27, St. Louis 17.
I guess that's pretty fair. Good for St. Louis if they score 17 points. Some days it doesn't look like they can do that.
Well, they have a defense, too.
They do. They do have a better defense than people.
They have Tavon Austin to return kicks, so that's something.
Yeah. It's better than nothing, right?
No,
fantasy-wise,
so there's ways
is...
for them to get to 17, even if they have a St. Louis-like offense this week.
Who would have thought that St. Louis might have a St. Louis-like offense?
Not I, said the pig.
But your fantasy options here, it's kind of slim pickings. Kellen Clemens should really only be a second quarterback option and a pretty far down on your list one at that. If Zach Stacy plays, he is, quote, questionable. I think he's going to. I'm okay starting him. I like Chris Givens, too, especially in deeper leagues. Tight end Jared Cook as a flex option, maybe. I don't know if I want to start him as my only tight end, but that's solely because there's just not as many points for him as there are pretty much any other tight end out there. Beyond that, just say no. Stay away from the kicker. Stay away from the defense. Don't try to get cute. There's nothing crazy that's going to happen here.
I noticed you refrained by referring to the kicker by name this week.
I did.
Well, you typically don't mention kickers by name anyway, but especially after we butchered his name last week, so to speak.
It's all right. I think we can power through it. We are a kicker-friendly show here.
We are. I think I've finally gotten to the point in the season where I know who the kickers are on all the teams without having to run to check the depth charts. It takes a while for me to remember the Caleb Sturgeon of the world.
You know?
But it takes a while, but I think I finally got it down. I know which kickers have switched teams and which ones are, you know, replacements that have stuck and all. So I'm feeling it. So for Indianapolis,
good. I'm glad we've hit our
Richardson,
stride.
Yes, so to speak. Trent Richardson, questionable with an ankle injury. If he plays, start him. Start wide receiver T.Y. Hilton, who will hopefully get you some rewards points this week. Tight end Kobe Fleener, the defense. Andrew Luck, I'm not as keen on. I think he'll do more damage against St. Louis on the ground than in the air, which makes Donald Brown an intriguing play, especially if Trent Richardson can't play this week. Even if he does play, I think Donald Brown's a decent flex option. Wide receiver Darius Heyward-Bey was disappointing last week, but I think you can still put him in as a flex
this week. I finally picked him to start, and that's what he went out and did. I am not happy with Darius Heyward-Bey.
You got to give him another week. And and kicker Adam Vinatieri, he's one of those kickers that I don't really need to keep track of because he's just there every week, year in, year out. And so, anyway, Indianapolis should do fine in this game, but that's not a game that I would want to watch willingly.
No, probably not at the top of the must-watch list this week.
No. This next game, I think, is going to be closer than most pundits are probably predicting. Seattle, they just seem to... They seem to relish doing the Houdini act every week.
They almost
just
gave one away to Tampa Bay last week.
Yeah, they almost did, and I think they're
going to
be on the verge of giving this one away. I don't think they're going to spot Atlanta 21 points, but I think it is a close game. I think it's nip and tuck the whole way, but I'll pick Seattle to win this. I'll say Seattle 28, Atlanta 24.
I was shocked that Seattle almost lost to Tampa Bay at home. That would have been the upset of the year, for sure. It's a shame they couldn't hold on. But this week, I agree. I think this will be a closer game. Atlanta sometimes does look like a real football team, which is exciting for them. But I think Seattle's still going to edge them out. I think they may win on a last-second touchdown or last few-minute touchdown, if you will. Fantasy-wise, there's a lot to like here for Seattle. I like Russell Wilson this week. Definitely like Marshawn Lynch. Pretty much that's a no-brainer. Doug Baldwin and Golden Tate I'm good with. Even maybe Jermaine Kearse as a flex option, who every time I see him on the field, I think he's Javon Kearse, and that's very, very confusing for a moment before I realize, nope.
Jermaine Kearse is a little bit faster than Javon Kearse.
A little bit
just
younger.
Just a little. Yeah. A little thinner.
But I think he's a good flex option, especially since he's not Javon Kearse.
He's more flexible than Javon Kearse, too.
He's a lot more than Javon Kearse. But I think you can start kicker Steven Hauschka, and I'm even okay with starting the defense. They get some takeaways. They'll score you points in different ways than some of the other defenses.
Did you mention Zach Miller?
No, actually, I forgot to. Thank you for reminding me. Zach Miller,
well,
I like...
I wasn't sure if that was a deliberate oversight or just
I'm so used to not starting Zach Miller that I get confused when I actually want to. But, yeah, I'm okay with starting Zach Miller this week, as weird as that is.
So, for Atlanta, it's hard to believe we were talking about them as a Super Bowl team. They look nothing like a Super Bowl team right now. Start Matt Ryan this week. I didn't start him in a couple of leagues last week, but this week I think the matchup is a little bit more favorable for him than Carolina's secondary. With all the publicity that Seattle's secondary gets, I still don't think they're quite as good as the hype. But so Matt Ryan, start him, start wide receiver Harry Douglas and tight end Tony Gonzalez. Steven Jackson is more of a flex option for me. Kicker Matt Ryan is okay. Defense should be all right. I would not start Jenkins Rogers with Steven Jackson back and apparently at his fullest strength as he's going to be at. And wide receiver Roddy White, questionable with the hamstring and the ankle. Even if he plays, it seems pretty apparent that he's not going to be at full strength anytime soon this season.
And it's not the world's best matchup for him, even when he's 100% healthy.
No. No, it's not. So, shall we move on?
White. Yeah, let's keep rolling.
All right, next game up, Oakland at the Giants. I'm sure that you're going to predict what I'm going to predict. But I'm still down on the Giants, even after the bye week and even after Oakland's miserable showing last week. I think they match up pretty well with the Giants, regardless of... The Giants' defense has definitely improved, but I'm just not sure that their offense...
They're not as terrible as they started out.
No, but that's still not good. And Oakland, as bad as they looked against Philadelphia last week, they still are capable of scoring some points.
Terrell Pryor, the crazy thing is, he didn't have a bad game.
No, but he always seems to twist an ankle or just do something that...
Well, yeah, get a tattoo, whatever.
Get a tattoo or do something stupid that, kind of renders him useless. But I think it could go either way. And, again, I'm just going to buck convention and not take the home team in a close game. I'm going to say Oakland finds a way to pull this out. I'll say Oakland 21, Giants 20. And, of course, I'll hope I'm wrong, but...
I'm actually picking the Giants to win this game, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for you, but it's happening.
Yeah, probably a good thing. That happened a couple weeks ago. I forget
which
game
that
was, and it worked out pretty well. I think we picked each other's teams and against our own teams, and that seemed to work out pretty well.
And who knows? That could happen this week. But I think the Giants, it's more like 24-21 for me. I think this will be close. Like you said, I do think they match up pretty well together. Terrell Pryor, I like more as a second quarterback option. Like you said, he doesn't really have terrible games, but he's not – it's just not enough to be your only quarterback. I like Rashad Jennings this week. I like Denarius Moore and Rod Streeter, who felt like he was all over the place last week. Even though Oakland didn't score that many points, it was like Rod Streeter was involved in every play. That being said, I'm staying away from the rest of the wide receivers, no tight end. I am going to start kicker Sebastian Janikowski, and I'm going to start the defense. Even though I think New York's going to win, I just don't see this being extraordinarily high scoring.
For the Giants, Victor Cruz is dealing with a neck injury. Assuming he's healthy enough to play, I would start him. I'd start the Giants defense because I think it'll be a low-scoring game. Eli Manning, he's more of the second quarterback option for me this week. I just don't think they're going to score a ton of points. Nick Foles, to the contrary. Running back Peyton Hillis, sounds like they're going to get at least one or two running backs back this week, Brandon Jacobs and Andre Brown perhaps, but still sounds like Hillis is top dog there, which isn't saying much, but he's a flex option. Wide receivers Hakeem Nicks and Reuben Randall, flex options for me. Tight end Brandon Myers is okay. Brandon Jacobs, Andre Brown, Michael Cox, those guys, don't start them. definitely don't start David Wilson. He's going to miss another week with his neck injury. And kicker Josh Brown is also someone you can keep away from your lineup this week.
All right. Let's keep rolling.
All right. Well, they said it couldn't be done. Jacksonville, are they on their way to an 0-16 season? If they're ever going to win a game, this is the week. They're playing at Tennessee. Tennessee is not a very impressive team either. They've won a few games, but I'm not impressed. They did beat St. Louis, but, you know, I think if Jacksonville is going to win a game this year, it's going to be this. Unfortunately, I think they're going to come close, but no cigar. I'll pick Tennessee to win this 20-17.
I'm taking Tennessee by a touchdown, more like 21-14. But that does mean I think Jacksonville is going to actually score two touchdowns, which is – that's improving. I agree with you. This on paper is a winnable game for them. I just don't see it actually happening. Even though
especially
Chad
without
Henne,
Justin Blackman now, that's going to kill
yeah,
them.
Yeah, what an idiot. It's going to be a lot harder without him. Even though I'm a big-time Chad Henne apologist, I think that maybe he's a second quarterback option at best and a very, very deep option. I'm okay with starting Maurice Jones-Drew this week and Cecil Shorts. Maybe wide receiver Mike Brown is a flex, but that is it. I don't want any other part of this team.
Now, Maurice Jones-Drew is an interesting one because he's been decidedly mediocre this
year.
He's certainly not the MJD that used to be a top, you know, three pick year in and year out. But a lot of pundits are touting him this week and saying, you know, if there's ever going to be a week that he'll do well, it's this week. Tennessee's run defense, not so impressive. So
they're definitely better at defending against the pass than they are the run. Jacksonville doesn't do either particularly well, but one's got to work.
Well, they're going to rack up some yardage, but, and he'll probably get a good chunk of it, but we'll see exactly how much. Tennessee running back Chris Johnson had a decent game last week. Start him. Wide receiver Kendall Wright seems to be coming their go-to guy. Start him. Tight end Delanie Walker is reasonable to start. And the defense is a good start because Jacksonville's not going to score many points. Sean Green, he got some carries last week in relief of Chris Johnson. That'll probably continue, which makes him a decent flex option. Wide receiver Nate Washington cooled off a bit, but still worth a flex spot. Quarterback Jake Locker, I'm just, as you know, Jen, I'm not a fan of his.
Not a fan.
And just don't think that I would start him this week or any other week. And
hey, we could put together a pretty mediocre fantasy team of people we're not a fan of, like Anthony Fasano and Jake Locker. Darius Hayward Bay.
I'm a fan of the second and third guy you mentioned, just not Jake Locker, but kicker Rob Baronis. He's another guy. He's a good kicker, but on a bad team, I feel bad for both of these kickers when they get together at the end of the game. They must commiserate twice a year on, you know, what their respective teams are like.
How did we get here?
Well, both of them have stuck around a long time. I think 10 years from now, they're still going to be kicking for their respective teams.
Well, especially because they're kicking a lot less in a game than, say, Matt Prater is, so it's going to extend their career.
Well, rigor mortis might set in.
True.
Yeah, I guess.
Very true. All right, 20 minutes to bomb through the rest of these games. We got, what, five of them left? Six of them left. We can do this.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, we're pacing ourselves pretty well here. So we're kind of roaming the plains like Buffalo would. And speaking of Buffalo, they're at Pittsburgh this week. That was a pretty awful segue, if I do say so myself.
A little forced. But
a little bit forced, yeah. But anyway, Buffalo at Pittsburgh, both of these teams going nowhere fast. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your point of view, one of them's got to win. I'll go with the home team this time, and I'll say Pittsburgh wins this by a score of 23-20.
I'm taking Buffalo in the return of E.J. Manuel, or the possible return of E.J. Manuel. I'm going to take them just because, you know, Buffalo's got to win sometimes too, and this seems like as good a week as any. Like you said, it's kind of a shame that either team has to win this game because neither of them particularly deserves to right now. I think that's going to be Buffalo's run game that takes them a little bit over the top of Pittsburgh. I like E.J. Manuel more as a second quarterback option. I'm good with starting C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. Stevie Johnson I'm cool with starting. Robert Woods got dinged up last week. It's a shame, but I'd stay away from him. I am going to start the defense, though. Like you said, low-scoring game. Neither of these teams are really on an offensive tear right now.
Yeah, it's strange. Obviously Pittsburgh's not winning, and people tend to blame their offensive line and the fact that Mike Wallace isn't there anymore. But I think the real problem this year has been the defense, specifically the run defense. The pass defense has been okay, but the run defense is really...
Yeah, nobody wants
down
to talk about it because for years you couldn't run on Pittsburgh, and now they're just trying to pretend you still can't run on Pittsburgh.
No, that narrative doesn't apply anymore, but the other narrative that doesn't apply anymore is that Pittsburgh doesn't have a running game long. They actually do now with Le'Veon Bell, who's a decent fantasy running back. Start him,
yeah.
Start wide receiver Antonio Brown. Defense, normally I would, you know, after I just finished saying that they're no good anymore, I think they're a decent start this week against Buffalo.
Well, it's a lower scoring game.
Yeah. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, more of a second quarterback for me this week. Wide receivers Emmanuel Sanders and Jericho, 3-touchdown Cotchery. I think those guys are both flex options. Tight end Heath Miller is okay. Kicker Sean Sweetham is okay. I don't know. I guess
everything's okay. Like, it's nothing
to get
excited
about. If you're in the
rough
there, you're probably watching this game, but other than that, I don't see too many people, you know, making it a point to watch.
I think at this point I'd rather watch a Buffalo Sabres-Pittsburgh Penguins game.
Might be higher scoring.
There's a good chance.
Although Buffalo just traded Thomas Vonek to the Islanders.
Well, that means the Penguins could score even more goals. This works out really nicely.
All right. So this next game, I think, is going to be a very intriguing matchup, and that's Carolina at San Francisco, the first of the late games. I'm going to pick Carolina here. I just think that they have their act together more than San Francisco does right now, and I'll say that even though it's a road game for them, I think they come out on top. I'll pick Carolina 24, San Francisco 20.
I might even take Carolina by a touchdown. And you all know I am not a Cam Newton fan. I'm not even a Carolina fan. But if they can keep playing even close to how they're playing right now, this is not a team I'd want to see in the playoffs. Not today.
Well,
unfortunately,
you would see them in the playoffs because they would make it.
Yeah. San Francisco gets to see them this week. And I think you're right. I think that right now everything's working for them. Their pass game, their run game. I mean, even their defense has stepped up, and I don't think San Francisco is going to be able to hang with them the whole way. I'm cool with starting Cam Newton, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart maybe more as a flex option. I like Steve Smith. I like the defense. You can kind of pick and choose flex options from either side of this game because there will be some points, but Carolina they look good right now.
Yeah, I mean, as mediocre as
they started
Green Bay and well, as they started, yes, but I'm thinking right now, you know, before the season started, you know, it looks like the San Francisco and Seattle, the people were predicting, you know, that one of those would probably, you know,
yeah,
be the class, would be a Super Bowl contender. Some people liked Atlanta, some people like New Orleans, some people like Green Bay, but nobody mentioned Carolina. Now all of a sudden I think you could make a pretty strong argument, but especially at this point in the season, these are probably the two best teams in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair statement. It's definitely not an NFC East team in the mix.
No, you can say that pretty safely. And I think we can also say pretty safely that Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers or Atlanta without Julio Jones and Roddy White, probably not quite the teams we thought they were going to be.
No, no. But I said, yeah, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. So San Francisco, I would start running back Frank Gore, wide receiver Anquan Boldin, tight end Vernon Davis, quarterback Colin Kaepernick, more of a second quarterback for me this week. Wide receiver Mario Manningham, if he does play, is a decent flex option, even though it would be his first game of the season. Defense, I'd still start. I think it's a relatively low-scoring game. Kendall Hunter has looked good in relief of Frank Gore at times this year, but I don't think he'll play enough and do enough against Carolina's defense to be worth starting. Same thing, Kyle Williams. Same thing, kicker Phil Dawson. Just keep those guys on your bench.
Yeah, you can find other better options elsewhere for sure.
Yeah. So now we're into the home stretch here. How about Houston at Arizona? Houston, they found another way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory this past week. And this week I'm going to pick them again, even though they're on the road. And I think they'll win this game by a couple touchdowns. Case Keenum's been impressive. And
I love Case Keenum.
I don't think Arizona has the offense to come back if they get down. So I'll pick Houston to win this. With or without Arian Foster, I'll say Houston 31, Arizona 17.
Yeah, I think Houston will pull through. Case Keenum's going to play 4 full quarters this week, and I'm excited about it. I do like him maybe more as a second quarterback option. He's right on the edge for me there. But either way, I think he's going to be a good addition to your fantasy team. I like Ben Tate a lot this week. Again, with or without Arian Foster, I think Ben Tate you can start. If Foster plays, more of a flex option for him. Obviously, he's not 100% healthy. Definitely start Andre Johnson. I like DeAndre Hopkins as well, and tight end Garrett Graham. I'm definitely starting the defense here. And I want to watch this game. I like this game this week.
I think it's going to be pretty one-sided, but
I like watching this Case Keenum Houston offense. This is much more.
Yeah, fun. I could see that. I just want to see Wade Phillips coaching again.
Wade. I have plenty of him as a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, the sarcasm font was turned on for that comment that I made. But anyway, so for Arizona, there's nobody on the team I would definitely start this week. Running back Andre Ellington and Rashard Mendenhall. If I knew for a fact one or the other would be starting and getting the lion's share of the carries, I would start them. But if I don't, they're both flex options for me. Wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd, flex options. Tight end Rob Housler, flex option in a really deep league. Quarterback Carson Palmer, wouldn't start him against Houston's secondary, which has been quite good this year. Wide receiver Andre Roberts, no. Kicker Jay Feely, no. And no to the defense. So the funny thing is Arizona, before the season started, everybody was saying, you know, their secondary is going to be great and really carry the team. But so far that hasn't been the case. It's actually, you know, their run defense has been better than their secondary, so who knows? Sometimes you just have to walk away from the narrative.
I thought they'd get it together a little more than they have. I'm a little disappointed in them.
I blame the honey badger.
When in doubt, blame the honey badger.
Yeah, it's got to be his fault somehow. So next game up, this one I think will be another game without too much offense. We've got a couple of those this week. This one, Denver at San Diego. The San Diego at Washington wasn't quite as high scoring as I thought it was going to be, but the outcome with Washington winning didn't surprise me, although it took them longer to win than I thought. I thought they'd be able to win in regulation. But anyway, I just think San Diego, as good as their offense has looked, their defense has been even worse on the flip side. So I think Denver's defense, obviously nothing to write home about either, but I just think they'll have a little bit more than San Diego, so I'll pick Denver to win this game by a score of 38-31.
I'm taking Denver by 10. Peyton Manning is just on another level, although I'll give it to Phillip Rivers. He is having a phenomenal year compared to the last few we've seen from him. But fantasy-wise, I like a lot more of what Denver's got right now. Definitely start Peyton Manning, start Noah Sean Moreno, start Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, Eric Decker. I like tight end Julius Thomas, the kicker. But stay away from the defense. Too many bad things can happen.
There's no reason to start Denver's defense, especially as much pressure as their offense puts on people. You know that teams are going to be throwing most
Absolutely.
Of the game against their defense, which even if they're of the bend but don't break variety, they're still going to give up a ton of yards. So probably
yeah, they're
not
basically
a good
playing
play.
The no doubles defense, only the football version.
Right. For San Diego, quarterback Philip Rivers is a good start. Wide receiver Keenan Allen, tight end Antonio Gates, kicker Nick Novak. Wide receivers Eddie Royal and Vincent Brown are flex options. I'd stay away from running backs Danny Woodhead and Ryan Matthews. And as if I need to state the obvious, I'd stay away from San Diego's defense as well.
Just in case anyone was confused, we don't want to start the defense.
No. All right, Sunday night delight, Dallas at New Orleans. I think your boys are in trouble here.
Yep.
I think they would have been a lot better off if the New Orleans had beaten the Jets, but since that didn't happen, I think you've kicked the hornet's nest here. You can thank the Jets for that. Unless Dallas comes out with a much better effort than they've had the last few weeks, I don't see them winning this game. I think they have enough on offense to keep it close, but I just don't see them being able to stop New Orleans on defense. So I'll say that New Orleans wins this 31-24.
I'd love to pick Dallas to upset New Orleans. Like there are scenarios where I can picture it happening, and it seems like it could be real, but
somebody hijacks the Saints bus on the way to the game.
They all come in on floats. It's going to be a tough one. The first half may work out okay, or, they get blown out in the first half and then make a little noise in the second half. I just don't think they're going to put together four good quarters. But Dallas is pretty sneaky.
They'd have a dollar.
True. They do put together fantasy points and value even when they strive for the mediocrity that they are. So I'm okay with still starting Tony Romo. I'll start DeMarco Murray, who's coming back this week. I like Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams as a flex option. Definitely going to start Jason Witten at tight end and kicker Dan Bailey, but stay far, far away from the defense.
I love DeMarco Murray, that matchup for him this week. If he's healthy enough, he should run roughshod over New Orleans defense. But, it's kind of a shame, too, for Dallas because their strength on offense, the passing game, pretty much plays right into New Orleans' strength, which is their secondary. So I just think this is not an ideal matchup for Dallas. But for New Orleans, start quarterback Drew Brees, start tight end Jimmy Graham, start kicker Garrett Hartley. Darren Sproles supposedly is well enough after his concussion to play, but I'd be a little leery of him, and because I don't know how much he's going to play. I don't know how much Pierre Thomas is going to play. Therefore, those guys are both flex options for me. Marcus Colston missed the game last week. He's questionable with a knee injury. If he plays, he's a flex option for me. This might be the only time in umpteen years of Sherpaing that I haven't recommended Marcus Colston as a definite start. But, this week all four of the wide receivers there, Colston, Lance Moore, Kenny Stills, even Robert Meacham, who has been reincarnated as a Saint again. Those guys are all at best flex options for me this week. Defense, I think they're okay to start. They'll probably have a pick or two, thanks to Tony Romo. Mark Ingram is pretty much the only guy that I would say definitely stay away from there, just because I don't see a clear path to him getting a lot of carries or touches.
I mean, I think it'll be what the NFL's looking for a Sunday night game, a lot of scoring and some big-name players, but I don't know.
Hopefully neither coach having a stroke at halftime.
Yeah, that would be definitely an improvement over last week.
It
so
would be.
We've always got that to go for.
Yeah, nothing like having a stroke on national TV as your...
if you're
going
to do it, that's the way to go. That's the way to do it.
Well, at least the medical people were right around, so that wasn't an issue, but still, it's pretty scary. I can just imagine what his family must have been thinking watching that. But anyway, so last game, last and least, we've got the Miami Incognitos against the Tampa Bay, whatever they are. The
staff infections?
The Tampa Bay MRSAs. But I think the three most dysfunctional teams in football right now might all be in the state of Florida.
Yep.
And you've got Tampa, Jacksonville, Miami. Miami at least has won a few games this year, but Tampa and Jacksonville, it would be pretty awful if two Florida teams both went through the whole season winless, but it's looking more and more each week like that could happen. This should be a close game. Tampa obviously showed some flashes of life last week against Seattle, but I think Miami will find a way to win this. I don't know how, I don't know why, and I don't really care, but I just think Miami wins this, and I'll say Miami 21, Tampa 17.
That was such expert analysis.
Yeah. Somebody's got to win this game. Somebody's got to win this game, and I'll say Miami. That's my expert analysis for you.
I'm going to take Tampa to win this game, which
might
shock the world.
No, there's no way that happens.
It's happening. This is the week.
They had their chance against Seattle, and they couldn't get it done. This is it for them.
No, it was a warm-up. It was a warm-up
mark
for them.
It down.
Miami's going to leave Tampa with not only a bullying problem, but MRSA. Like, it doesn't get worse than that.
They just can't go into the locker room. They'll dress in the stands.
They're going to play in street clothes. That's it. Oh, God. This is not one you want to stay up and watch on Monday night, but I think Tampa Bay's going to pull it out. I don't think this will be incredibly high-scoring or exciting.
Or interesting.
I just think Miami's got too much off-the-field shenanigans going on right now, and Tampa Bay is just riding that high all the way back from Seattle of almost winning a game, and they might try to get crazy and actually win a whole game this week. So I think this is going to happen.
I think they're thoroughly demoralized after that game
The glass is half full here for Tampa Bay.
That was
Bay.
Their season right there, and they blew it. They're mark up down. They're 0-16. They're going to be in a coin flip with Jacksonville for that first pick. It'll be the first time two teams have ever had identical 0-16 records.
That would be bad. I would think that you'd have to give Jackson the first pick just because Blaine Gabbert's still their quarterback. Fantasy-wise, for Miami, Ryan Tannehill, more a second quarterback option for me. Lamar Miller, really only a flex option. I like Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline. I even like tight end Charles Clay. I'm not really sure why I like him so much since I'm not that high on Tannehill throwing this week, but I'm going to go with it. I'll even start the kicker in the defense. Get it crazy.
For Tampa, I'll start running back Mike James, wide receiver Vincent Jackson, tight end Tim Wright, and the defense. Just based on that alone, you might think I was picking Tampa Bay to win the game, but I'm not.
You're picking Jacksonville to win the game they don't even play.
I think they have a better chance of winning this game than Tampa does.
No, Tampa will use the MRSA to their advantage, and they will win this game.
Yeah, it'll be a MRSA killing, but... So, for Tampa, quarterback Mike Glennon, excuse me, I almost got through a whole show without mispronouncing his
name.
Came so close, made it to the last minute. Quarterback Mike Glennon is a second quarterback for me. Tyquan Underwood, flex option. Running back Doug Martin out for another week with a shoulder. Don't start him. Tight end Tom Crabtree, don't start him. Kicker Ryan Lindell, I don't think I've recommended starting him all year, and I'm not going to start with that now. So, anyway.
That brings us to the end of our show. We will be back next week.
We spend more time on the Tampa, arguing about Tampa Miami than any other game. That's fitting.
But we'll be back next week at our normal time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for a whole hour, as we are every week. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you. We're all over social media. You can find us on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, or at fantasy_Sherpa, or JKIM16. You can also email us at the number 4THNInchesShow@gmail.com. We're on
Facebook
at the Fantasy
Football Show. They'll probably find you live-tweeting the Tampa-Miami game, too.
Possibly. Live-tweeting Jacksonville winning the Miami-Tampa game. That's what will be on the Sherpa's account this week.
Yeah, go Jacksonville. I'll be tweeting that.
You can also find us at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page on Facebook and at fantasyfootballsherpa.com. And, of course, we'd like to see who you think out of the three Miami or the three Florida teams will actually win this game where only two of them are playing. So feel free to let us know.
I'll pick San Antonio Holmes.
Perfect. And we'll be back next week, guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Have a great week and good luck to your teams.